The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Back in the saddle here, I know those of you tuning in nationally have been getting some best of episodes. Those of you tuning in online, yep, it's been some repeats as well. We are here with a fresh dose of the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and I got to tell you, we are coming out swinging. I mean swinging. We got one of the baddest women on the planet, Tara Geiger, on the show today. She's taking up the entire first hour. 10 years in the making this interview has been. Somehow, some way, we have never, dotted our I's and crossed our T's and had her on the show. But I am so excited to have Tara Geiger on the show. First woman to ever backflip a motorcycle. One of the most accomplished female motocrossers of all time. Yep, she's taking up the entire first hour right here on the show. So thank you guys for tuning in. Everybody on Sirius XM, Sports Byline, the American Forces Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, our good friends over there at Podcast One, my website, YouTube, wherever you guys are tuning in. Thank you guys, because you got a treat in store for you. Not only that, hour number two, yeah, we got a lot to dive into in hour number two. We got more event cancellations. We got some new event format starting to pop up. SEMA show has been canceled. Bronco chaos is still ensuing. We're going to dive into all of that, all of the news coming out of the world of motorsports. Not only that, but I am going to Vegas to Reno next week. That is right, the longest off-road race in the United States. It got the go papers. I am taking my Polaris Razor there, and I got my good friend Steve Arpin, who's coming in to race with me, as well as Marty Fioka from Racer Magazine. So it's going to be one hell of a good time and one hell of a show there at Vegas to Reno. So we'll probably talk about that. But not only that, we got a double dose of power rankings. Been a couple of weeks since we've done power rankings. That is right. We are going to be ranking the top performances in the world of motorsports from the past week. Calling in my media director, Chris Leone, to help tag team that with me. So we have a lot, and I mean a lot, to talk about. Not only that, we didn't, as all this is going on, I also went to San Diego for a week and did a little surfing and a lot of skating and had one hell of a good time. So I don't know. Maybe I'll tell you about my trip to San Diego and some of the fun that I had there as well. So I don't know. You got 2 hours coming at you, two great hours of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. Hit me up on Twitter if you got any fan questions, and we will see you right after this short commercial break. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
I'd like to welcome one of my guests to the show this week. I guess in this special interview we're going to be airing on the Down and Dirty Radio Show and Project Action. I want to say good friend because we've got like a million mutual friends and some that are probably mutual best friends. But Tara Geiger, welcome to the show after 9 years. Finally have you on here. Like, this is like bucket list moment for me here. Like, we're checking one of the boxes off. So welcome to the show, Tara.
Thanks for having me. Same on my part. Yeah. I always wanted to be on the show, so it's cool we can make it happen finally.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back, and I'm like, we got reached out, and I looked in. I was like, I actually have Tara's cell phone number in here, because I think at one point Jolene's like, we need to connect you guys, and somehow it just hasn't happened till today, so I'm excited it's finally happening, man. How is things with you though? Obviously, I know, obviously we're following you on social media and things like that, but I know like the whole industry, we were just talking, I'm getting ready to go back to Vegas to Reno racing. I know it seems like whether you're on four wheels, two wheels, I mean, everything kind of came to a standstill. I mean, how's things been with you the past few months? What's been keeping you busy during this whole, I guess, kind of quarantine period, and as we're slowly kind of inching and creeping our way out of it?
Yeah, for me, basically you were saying the Mint 400 was your last race, and it was actually the same for me. And when all this kind of kicked off, I was actually getting ready to go on a 7 week in a row race schedule. And kind of just everything got put on hold, like the whole world did. And since then, I've just been actually living at home for once. Like, we moved up to Bend, Oregon about 3.5 years ago. And between me and my husband, Dusty, who does the Nitro Circus live shows, we're always just kind of in and out or scrambling to get ready for the next trip. So it's been pretty nice just being at home and actually doing all the things that Bend has to offer, which, you know, brought us here in the first place. So yeah. We did a lot of camping in the spring, and we bought a little Honda pit bike, and we were just making like really fun sand tracks out by the campsite. And just, we did that for like a month, and I finally got a chance to go up to Idaho and check out Gold Creek Lodge and do some riding up there. Was able to link up with Cody Webb for one of his little events up there. Basically just enjoying some downtime, really, and kind of filling in with all the do in the future list that we had. So for the most part, yeah, it's just been kind of staying home and linking up with friends here that are also stuck. A lot of people weren't working, so we were fortunate that in Bend, we have so many outdoor spaces that we were able to get out and get a lot of riding in, get a lot of mountain biking in, and just kind of hang with friends that way, out social distancing, as they like to say now, but still out doing the stuff we love to do.
Yeah, and I'm lucky. I'm kind of the same way out in rural Arizona here in Parker, and it's like, yeah, we've got all this space and things to where, like, people in the metro areas and stuff, they were hit really hard. Like, we were still out in the Razors. We were out, you know, in the water. We were doing a lot of things we normally did, you know, and trying, obviously, like you said, be safe and things like that. But I got to say, like, sometimes people that live, I don't want to say off the grid, but out of the metro areas a bit, I think some of us kind of, I guess we benefited. I don't want to say benefited from this, but it allowed us to still continue to do what we normally would do to an extent, you know?
Yeah, totally. It was pretty nice because normally I miss a lot of the good riding weather at home because I'm traveling to Southern California or, you know, other West Coast locations racing and stuff. And the dirt in the spring here is amazing, and there's a lot of really fun sand tracks we have. So I was able to ride a lot near home. Like, I didn't really slow down for, like, a month once racing stopped in terms of riding. And you realize how much of your life, if you're not traveling and, you know, racing, the stuff we do is pretty social distance in a sense. You know, we're riding with our helmets on, and it's easy to stop, you know, a good ways away from your buddy and chat about something on the trail or whatever it may be. But I think one of the craziest changes was that I think I cooked at home for like 2.5 months. Like, all the restaurants were closed. We didn't do any takeout. Right. We just grocery shopping, and actually having food in the fridge for once was nice.
Yeah. So did you like get an addiction to cooking where you're like, what, it, you know, are you now like, oh, hell with that, I don't care if I ever cook again? Or was it one of those like, oh, I actually enjoy this, I kind of found a hobby that I like?
No, I wouldn't say it was a hobby I liked, but figured out, just we had a good routine, and like, I knew what I had to buy at the grocery store, so that made it easy. So yeah, but it was like, you know, we did the full quarantine, the 6 weeks that they wanted us to, and then even a bit more. So I don't think I went out to eat for like, it would be at least 8 weeks.
Yeah. Here's a question. And I know I've kind of been like in this internal struggle now, right? Because now, you know, I'm getting ready to go back racing here in a week, and we've got UTV World Championships after that. We got a bunch of events coming up and Crandon, and I've got all these places to go, and I'm starting to see things. And I'm like, man, like, I'm kind of being torn, because I went from being on the road like 30 some weekends a year to all of a sudden this year, like you being at home and like, wow, I'm at home. This is what my four walls look like. And so it's like one of those where I'm torn, where I kind of liked it a little bit, but I still really, really miss going out to all the events and racing. So I feel like, are you one of those kind of like me where you're moving forward? You're like, you know, instead of being on the road 30 something weekends, maybe we can make it 20 something weekends next year and like spend a little bit more home time and a little bit more. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of being torn. Like, I kind of like a little of both worlds now, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm just like a creature of habit, too. If I get like in a routine, like right now I'm kind of in a routine of being home. But the minute I get on the routine of being on the road, it's like, you know, it's like it's hard to break that.
Yeah.
So it takes a little while to be like used to being home for weekends on end. But then once you're there, you know, you don't have to think about too much. You're just kind of like rolling with it. But it's the same when you get on the road racing, you just kind of roll with it, and it, you know, it just kind of takes its own momentum. And before you know it, you're like eight races, you've been gone for 8 weekends in a row. And, but you couldn't think of it the other way. Like, you want to be doing anything else.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I got so many questions here. So I kind of want to, with this, let's kind of go back to the beginning, because I got a bunch of questions on this year and Johnny Campbell. And obviously we got this Pastrana Land Pit Bike Challenge to talk about. But let's kind of go back to the start, because I think, you know, obviously I think a lot of people close to motocross understand your background and things like that. But let's go back to your childhood. I want to go all the way back to Puerto Rico and you growing up and things like that. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, we know your parents had surf shop. You know, you were like crazy good surfer. You know, what was the draw to motorcycles, though? Because a lot of people with that upbringing obviously would have went to the water. I know your brother's been, you know, a solid surfer, his, you know, and things like that. Like, what was the draw to dirt bikes? What got you out of the water and into the dirt?
I was actually like kind of like, I obviously growing up surfing, that was the first thing I really learned to do. I was in the water since I was a baby. But it was really hard in Puerto Rico to be a kid, because nobody gave kids waves or respected them. And then being a girl in that community as well, it was like a double whammy for getting waves. I always seemed to be struggling. So I really took to other sports. I played a lot of team sports, and I was really into baseball at the time. Actually, I was playing like boys little league baseball, and we'd still like do a bunch of stuff. You know, we were always playing in the streets, always riding our bicycles. One of my brother's friends had a go-kart, and we would like pull on skateboards behind the go-kart around the neighborhood. So I really wanted a go-kart, just anything like motorized. My parents told me I was going to get run over by a car, so they opted for a motorcycle instead. And I was still, when I was like playing year-round baseball, but I kind of just got over the team sport dynamic of I was given 100%, and I didn't really feel like my teammates were, and I was kind of getting discouraged. So the motorcycle thing kind of just fit in, because it was something I could do. It wasn't like limiting my ability to do it by not getting the opportunities, which in surfing, I wasn't getting the waves to be able to surf as much as I wanted to. And I just kind of took to the motorcycle. My dad picked it up again. He used to ride when he was younger around the sand dunes and the beaches in Florida. So he got really into it, and that's kind of all his history after that, I guess.
And we'll be back with a lot more with Tara Geiger when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Tara Geiger on the show. So, Tara, how's the transition from riding and racing in Puerto Rico to coming stateside? Because I know you've kind of been on record saying, man, it was a little bit different shakeup, because you were very well accepted over there. You come over here, and then it was all immediately like, whoa, pump the brakes. Who is this girl? And, like, you know, she's a girl. What? You know, we can't have this happening. And, I mean, how was that transition? Because I know, you know, and then you came in and you won Loretta's, and, you know, that immediately put you on the map. Anybody in motocross coming up through the ranks, you want to win at Loretta's. But how was that transition from Puerto Rico here to the U.S.? Because I know you've said it was, whoa, it was like black and white difference.
Yeah, it was pretty wild, because in Puerto Rico, I was the only girl riding motorcycles at the time. So, but I'd grown up doing all my sports as being like the only girl doing it. And it was never anything my parents discouraged. I didn't see anything weird in it, because I was like, I don't know, I want to play baseball. There's no girls baseball, so I'm playing with the boys. I want to ride motorcycles. There's no girls class, because I'm the only one on the island racing, you know, that's a girl. So when I went up to the States, it was like, whoa, girls class? Like, I can race with just girls? That's cool. And then I ended up doing pretty well. I went to Mineos for the first time, because it was a pretty popular race for a lot of people from Puerto Rico to go to. And ended up doing pretty decent, because it was very similar to the tracks we had in Puerto Rico. It was like, got Gatorback, it's hard packed clay, pretty big jumps, which I never had a problem jumping, because I never had somebody tell me, oh, girls, you know, girls don't do that, because I was racing with boys, so I had to do it.
Yeah,
kind of thing. And yeah, from there, just like, oh, maybe we should do more of this racing in the States, because I can actually do pretty well against the girls. And I was enjoying the opportunity to race against girls for a change. So but racing like the nationals, and you go to like the amateur nationals, and you get like three laps of practice, and all of a sudden you're racing. That was a big change for me, because in Puerto Rico we had like four tracks across the island, and we would have a race every month. So for the 3 weeks leading up to that race, everybody was at that track practicing. So you'd get hundreds of laps in before you ever raced it. So the whole three laps, first time you ever saw a track, was pretty eye-opening. And just being at a race for a week and doing all that kind of stuff was definitely took some time to get used to. And eventually, once I graduated high school, I moved up to Florida and lived with my grandmother full time, and was really able to start working on everything and get a lot more used to racing like that.
Yeah. Well, and kind of, you know, I know obviously you came in and, you know, and things, you know, went and did Motocross the Nations, that really kind of helped put you on the map as well. And then, you know, insert 2008, X Games rolls around and they, you know, invite women to compete. I mean, how big was that for you and women's motocross at the time? Because you, you know, right out of the box, you won. But, you know, I think, you know, women's motocross was growing. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get that center stage with ESPN and X Games. That had to have been huge for not only you and the sport.
Yeah, it was really big deal for me because I grew up with action sports, with skating and surfing, and all those sports were like a huge part of my upbringing. So X Games is always something that I look forward to watching every summer, but never did I think I'd participate in a sport that I can make it, you know, and be on that stage. So when we got invited, it was like, whoa, this is insane. Like, something that was never on my radar is a dream became a dream come true. So it was pretty cool. And then to get that win right off the bat was pretty special because I never got another gold in all the years I raced it, but definitely had a lot of memorable battles between Supercross and then Endurocross as well. So it took me some pretty crazy places when they had Global X, and we got to go to Germany, Spain, and Brazil. So yeah, that was an amazing experience, an amazing like event to be a part of.
Yeah. What? How has it been like in your career arc too? Because X Games kind of helps tell the story a little bit, but you know, obviously, you know, you grew up motocross, you know, supercross, things like that. Then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? You know, with X Games, you're switching and you're doing things like endurocross. Now we're, you know, getting into today where you're doing a lot of off road racing and things like that. But how has that been? You know, do you feel like it's been pretty progressive? Like, you know, it just naturally is kind of you've kind of, I don't want to say switched disciplines, but kind of shifted gears in your focus and things like that, or was it really rough? Because I know talking with Joel, she said, man, switching to endurocross was brutal on her. She's like, I still haven't ever figured it out, you know. And you talk to Trav, and Trav just goes, hell with that, I don't even want to try, you know. But you've been really successful with it, you know. How was that shift from, you know, racing moto and supercross to, you know, into endurocross?
Yeah, that was for sure one of the most difficult transitions I think I've ever made. But it wasn't like I totally wanted to do it. It was just kind of all the cards, the deck kind of got thrown in the air and the cards fell as they did. That Global X was happening in 2013 at the same time MX Sports was pretty much getting rid of women's motocross, and they went down to a three-round series. So at that time, you know, I was on Troy Lee Designs Honda, and it was not going to be worth it to them to put in a bunch of work for three rounds, you know, when their whole race team races 29 races between Supercross and Motocross. So that same year, 2013, I got the opportunity to go because I had won a silver medal, I think it was, at X Games in 2012 in the first event of Endurocross that they had. So because of that, I got invited to Global X. So I kind of embraced it as like a huge opportunity and a huge change, and got a chance to get some support from KTM, which, you know, they're the top off-road team at the time. So getting a little support from them and, you know, kind of having four big rounds of racing for the year with Global X was kind of just seemed like the better option than three, you know, rounds in a motocross series that they seemed to be wanting to get rid of anyway. But that whole year was a huge learning curve for me because I did all on my own. Got a couple bikes from KTM, but other than that, it was just me on my own figuring stuff out, and pretty much moved to California and was practicing at Colton Haker's place and just kind of learning every time I got on the track. But it was brutal. It was a lot of crashing and a lot of picking my bike up. And I got a couple medals that year, though. So still, to this day, I never really figured it out. I felt like the last X Games we did in Austin, I raced head-to-head with Laya Sands for that gold medal, and that was probably the best I've ever raced enduro cross. So kind of my pinnacle for that discipline. And I, you know, got the battle head to head and go back and forth with Wyatt Sands, who's one of the most amazing off-road motorcycle racers in the world.
Yeah. Well, talking about Laya, I mean, obviously, you know, you guys, I remember that battle, and, you know, she's just a phenomenal world-class talent. I mean, you see what she's been able to do in, like, the Dakar Rally, and now, you know, obviously you've got your ties with Johnny Campbell. I mean, has there ever been that itch in the back of your head, like, you know what, I'd like to maybe at some point go and try Dakar or something?
No, definitely not. Like, like Lia Sands towers over me. She's a big human too, and she has definitely got the talent and the size to handle a giant rally bike. But that's some crazy style of racing, and I give it, you know, props to her because she just kind of did it because she wanted to do it, and she's made a huge career out of just taking that chance to try it. So, you know, kudos to her, and she's an amazing enduro racer as well. I've had the chance to race a couple 6 days against her, and she's phenomenal. But for myself, no, I never had any desire to go try to ride a rally and, you know, stare towards sand dunes for hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Right. Well, and especially on a bike, you know, it's like, you know, and I've had this conversation with Toby Price, you know, on the show, and Toby and I were talking, and it's like, you know, it's one of those, like, everybody respects the, you know, the guys that go out there in cars and finish up front. But I told him, I'm like, there's something about a bike. I mean, you know, driving a car for 3,000-4,000 miles, you make a mistake and yeah, you know, you might blow a tire, you might have a problem, something like that, you know, unless it's catastrophic. But on a bike for that long, Tara, I mean, geez, it's like, you know, one small, you know, hiccup and you're done. Like, it's over on a bike. Like, that's so hard to keep that much focus for that many days, like 2 weeks straight. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's insane to me that, you know what I mean? That, you know, what, you know, the motorcycle riders at Dakar are able to accomplish.
Yeah. It just, it's so mental too. It fries your brain. Like you're saying, in a car, you can almost drift off because if you hit a hole with one wheel, you still got three wheels that didn't hit it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you probably stay pretty stable. But yeah, if you hit that one weird hole, and I mean, I've ridden out at Glamis and Dumont Dunes before, and there's so many holes you just don't even see. And just from the experience of racing three international 6 day endos, and we're on the bike for, you know, eight and a half hours a day, you just start seeing stuff when you're locked in that long. Like, you get some crazy tunnel vision, and going that fast through terrain you've never seen, I would not want to do that.
So, you know, talking about all this, and obviously we'll get into you know, talking about this year and some of that, but I want to kind of, you know, you've become one of the faces of women's professional motorcycle racing, you know. And how has that been? Because, I mean, obviously you talked about women's motocross series kind of folding up, and obviously, you know, somehow, some way, you've been able to stitch a career together, you know what I mean? You've had to shift and be really fluid with what you competed in and things like that. But, I mean, you know, it's brutally tough on, you know, guys to make a career racing motorcycles, but I got to think it's been doubly tough, as, you know, on you. I mean, you know, how have you been able to manage that? Because I feel like you've just been very fluid. Now, obviously, you've got tons of talent, but it's like you've been able to shift gears at the right point in time and kind of switch disciplines and make changes and surround yourself with the right people.
Definitely. I think I really couldn't have done it, you know, if Red Bull wasn't sticking behind me as long as they've had. You know, I think I signed with them in January of 2006, and we're going on like 15 years of being together. You know, it's an incredible company that's supported me in all those transitions, which is amazing on their part. And yeah, that's kind of my goal of the year, is like, all right, how can we make, you know, sponsors happy and keep them stoked? And, you know, I definitely think I've taken advantage of the social media side of how sports are going, in the sense that Red Bull has kind of been okay with me dabbling in different things as long as I'm out there racing and, you know, promoting the company well. And I've had a lot of other great companies jump on board, and got the chance to work with Johnny Campbell and JCR Racing the last couple of years. And yeah, it's just been an amazing run, and I've just had this desire to keep racing. I haven't wanted to, you know, call it quits yet, and finding these new disciplines is keeping it motivating and fresh. And
we've got to take a short commercial break, but we'll be back with more with Tara Geiger when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no
further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. Got my good friend Tara Geiger on the show. And Tara, we're just kind of talking about your career and how you've been able to switch disciplines and and talking about, how you've been able to make a run at this thing and kind of going back to your motocross roots and how you've got to where you're at today.
I definitely don't think I'd still be racing motocross, even if it was still a series that just doing it for that long. I'd probably be pretty cooked on it. But just being able to transition into all the different styles, like I did endurocross probably like 4 years and been doing the Grand Prix on the West Coast. And this year I just started doing the National Hare and Hounds, which is a whole different discipline of desert racing. And it's just been a lot of fun. And yeah, being on those Hondas, they're fun to ride every day. And I've just been staying motivated, and somehow, sponsors are stoked and everybody seems to still be happy and I can win races. So yeah, I guess that's probably why I haven't slowed down, and everybody's kind of psyched on my program.
Yeah. Well, how did that conversation really start with Johnny? I mean, how has that been for you? Because I know Johnny pretty well, and I can have a conversation with him, and I just feel like I walk away being a smarter race car driver. And he just oozes information, and he doesn't even realize it. Like, he's one of those guys, like, when I'm around, you always have your ears open because you never quite know what you're going to pick up and learn. But how did that conversation start? And, I mean, and how's it been? Because, I mean, going to me, I put him up on my Mount Rushmore of professional motorcycle racers in history. Like, he's that good, How has that been for you, just being surrounded in that atmosphere,
It actually, we've been working together. Our relationship goes back quite a ways, I'd say, because like I was telling you, in 2012, I was on the Troy Lee Designs Honda team. And then 13, 14, I did a KTM little support program just for endurocross and everything like that. But going into 15, I kind of wanted to get back on a Honda and do endurocross that way. At that time, they had Colton Haker on their team. Talking about JCR Racing, and Colton Haker riding for them. So I actually picked up a couple Hondas from American Honda, and I was just kind of picking the ear of their mechanic, Eric Sierton, at the time, and I went up to their shop in Marietta there, and basically was just asking them, you know, what's the setup for Enduro Cross, and Shawnee came in, he's like, how about we just prep your race bikes for you, and, you know, if we have products you need, you're welcome to them, and that's kind of how our relationship was for, I'd say, up until last year. It was kind of like, he knew that I had my own sponsors that, you know, I'd get paid from, and my deal was going to work out better, kind of doing it on my own, but they were there to help me, and at the Enduro Cross races, like, Eric was, you know, all the help I needed, he was helping me there too, so it kind of went like that for a few years, and going into last year, I was like, you know, Johnny, you've been so much help to me, I kind of just want to be fully on the program, if that's cool with you, like, run your sponsors, let's win this championship. Because I was going for the National Grand Prix Championship, AMA number one plate. And I was like, let's just go for this together. And he was like, 100%, let's do it. And that's kind of how I ended up on the team officially. But he's been helping me out for like the last 5 years, I think.
Yeah. Has that generated any kind of itch at some point? I know you did the Mint and they ran out a little bit different format, but to jump into some of the longer distance like Baja stuff and things like that Johnny's been so successful with in the past?
No, I don't think I want to do that stuff. Like, I come from a track racing background. Yeah. Like, I like to know where I'm going, and like the Grand Prix are very much, you know, it's a long off-road race, but for the most part, it's, you know, kind of what's coming up.
Yeah.
And the Hare and Hounds are a little bit different, but I really like the more technical side of the Hare and Hounds. Not so much the fast, like wide open in the desert. So I'm pretty sure I wouldn't really enjoy the long rally style or Baja style stuff.
I tell you what, I watched like old helicopter footage of Johnny down in Baja racing the 1000 and going like 130 miles an hour down the beach and things like that. And I look at that and I'm just like, this guy's nuts. Like, I mean, he is so ridiculously like, it's like artwork watching him. It's so graceful. It's like a guy dancing on a motorcycle. And it's like, you watch that helicopter footage and you're just like, man, this is like, he's such another planet good, you know, back in his prime, you know, it was like nuts.
Yeah.
So I look at that.
And you had to be. Yeah, you had to be pretty precise on those bikes he was riding, too.
Yeah.
So, pretty wild that he even did it on the machines he was on.
Right, yeah. And heavy bikes, man, those old XR650s and stuff like that. I mean, it was just, those things were rowdy. But, yeah, you know, shifting gears here, I want to go back. There's a couple things. Obviously, we'll kind of come into present day here in a minute. But I want to go back because I've had a similar conversation with Jolene. And I wanted to, and she's always tipped the cap to you and said, well, Tara was first, actually. But I want to go back to TP's house like circa a decade ago and talk about backflipping. Because technically, Jolene says you're the first female to ever backflip a dirt bike. Obviously, she did it on the big bike, but take us through that, because I know there was Travis had what, invited a few of you, a few of female motocross riders out to try this, right? And you were the only one to actually kind of stomp one on the smaller bike. How did that all work? Because I know there's some funny old videos that Nitro Circus plays every once in a while up on YouTube and things like that of the whole process, but kind of takes us back to there, and how did that whole conversation start?
It was actually when I was on, I believe I was on the team, Yamaha team with Sarah Whitmore at the time. So we were traveling around the country with our dads and our campers, and it was at Steel City, and Travis came up from Maryland to hang out for the day with Sarah because they're good friends. They go back a long time. He kind of, that's where I met him for the first time ever. So that would have been, you know, beginning of September, Steel City, when it was the final round of the national AMA Nationals. And, yeah, a few weeks later, I had flown back to Puerto Rico, and Travis calls me up. He's like, I want to fly you up to Maryland, and I want you and Sarah to go head-to-head in a backflip duel, see who can land a backflip first. And, you know, I'm just this kid from Puerto Rico that races women's motocross, and Travis Pastrana's calling me up to go backflips at his house. And he was, obviously, that was when foam pits were new, so he was, like, one of the only people with foam pit. And, you know, he was pioneering the backflip and getting a ton of people to learn it. So, of course, I said yes. And we get up there, and he has all these ways we're going to learn it planned. Like, First, we started into a pool, which I turned out was not really helpful. He just wanted us in bikinis. So that part was pretty funny. But so we're trying gainers in the pool off his diving board, and then backflipping a bicycle into a small foam pit, and then finally going to the big foam pit on the mini bikes to then go to the big bikes. But when I got on the big bike, this is one of the things in the footage, is I didn't get flipped at all off their little like quarter pipe against the foam pit. And when I came down, they said, just don't ever let go of the bike, because then the bike's can land on you. So yeah. I held on the bike, but the handlebars came through my helmet and hit me in the face and gave me like a huge bloody nose. So that was like me buried in the foam pit while fuel pouring on me with a bloody nose and Travis shoving a camera in my face asking me how I felt and what went wrong. And I was like, I don't know, but gas is pouring on me and there's blood in my mouth. Please, like, just stop filming. But at that point, he thought that, like, it was all over and done. But I came out the next morning. I was like, well, I got it good on the little bike, so I want to at least land that to dirt. And pretty much I was like, just set up the ramp that I'm going to use the foam pit and set up the distance. And I did it, like, five times. I was like, just go. Now I'll set up the ramp to dirt. I'm not even going to look at it, because doing a backflip's like 90% mental. You just got to remind yourself, just keep looking back, and like the bike's going to come around. So had him just set it up, and I just came around. I was like, make sure the cameras are filming. I'm just going to come around and do it. And that's pretty much what I did. Then he like wanted me to come back to do it on big bikes and everything. And at this point he hadn't met Jolene through Sarah, and also Jolene's brother, Billy. And he wanted me to come back, but I was like, you know, headstrong, focused on racing, and that's all I wanted to do. I had all these racing goals, and women's motocross was kind of taking off, so I didn't really want any part of the freestyle aspect. But Jolene was all about it, and her and her brother went, and they stomped a few backflips, and the rest is history for them. They're still part of, you know, they took Nitro super far with Jolene doing the TV show, and now her brother's one of the main guys on the Nitro Live tour for behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. So but yeah, so that's kind of how I ended up there, and my friendship with Travis, it's still going. I still end up there at Pastrana Land with bad ideas and a few injuries here and there from the place.
Is there any good ideas that come out of there? Because I know Trav, I get invited back there at least no short of three times a year, and I haven't made it back there yet because I've always got something going. But it's like the things that he texts me that he wants me to try, and I'm just like, it's got me kind of half scared to go back there and show up, because I'm like, at some point I know I'm going to get into positions I probably don't want to be in and doing things I probably shouldn't be doing, you know?
Yeah, he's a great salesman. And if Travis has confidence in you, you're pretty sure you have the skill. You just have to have confidence in yourself. But then again, maybe you shouldn't be even thinking about the opportunity that he's giving you.
Well, that being said, we do have to talk. I know you got it's the Pit Bike Pastrana Land Pit Bike Challenge. I don't know if I'm getting the name officially right, but I know it airs on ESPN2 15th of the month. The YouTube clip, I think it's about 30 to 60 seconds long, the teaser that they're airing. I got to tell you, Tara, this track looks insane. It looks like a hell of a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, it looks fun, but I can assure you that it was terrifying. It's definitely a terrifying track, and it's basically if you took a like old style X Games freestyle course, but then made it some sort of morbid pit bike track. I feel like it's something like that. Like, it's nuts. The jumps and things we had to do on these little bikes. It's pretty amazing. So it was really fun, but also terrifying.
Well, I know looking at the footage, and I'm like, it looked like it might have been a lot of fun if you had the track to yourself, but it looked like they crammed literally as many of you onto the course as you possibly could at one time. And that's when I think it's just like, it was like chaos, at least from the 60-second clip I've seen. Like, I'm really excited to see the full race, because I think it's going to be entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. It was, we had 22 riders, and I think, yeah, so you had 22 riders, and I think the final took 10. I think we did 10-person races. So there was a lot of racing, a lot of, like, people going down, a lot of good crashes, but it's all fun. Like, all riding stock KLX 110s. We were all provided with the same exact bike. So it took the frustrating part of pit bike racing out of it, I think, because a lot of people, like, you can show up and you basically have a super mini in a pit bike. You know, you have a 144 motor inside a pit bike. And at that time, you know, you can jump 80 feet on one of those things, but you put a stock motor that's meant for a 60-pound kid to ride around and not jump and make us jump, you know, like 30-foot booters. It was definitely wild.
Well, here's a question, you know, as we kind of get towards wrapping this thing up, but I know, like, there's been a lot of women, a lot of motocross riders just in general, but, you know, Jolene, obviously, she's gone and done some stuff in UTVs and done some racing with me. I know Sarah Price has, you know, gone full into the deep end of UTVs and things like that. Been any interest in you on switching to four wheels, maybe doing a little bit of UTV stuff or you know, some off-road stuff with four wheels?
I haven't really had a ton of interest in it. I think I like the physical aspect of the two-wheel stuff more. I really like pushing my body for no reason and torturing myself to get in shape and be physically prepared. And that's kind of one of the things that motivates me to do that kind of stuff is being just extra, like being more in shape than the other person, knowing I can go further. Or, you know, I can take that pain for longer. And I just know that maybe not necessarily the case when you're sitting in a seat, you know, holding onto a steering wheel. But I've never really driven too many UTVs, so I can't say whether I would really like it or not. But the motivation to get into it's just not there like I have for the two-wheel side of racing.
Well, Tara, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Those of you that want more from Tara Geiger, this is going to be aired uncut on Project Action, and I think there's an additional 5 minutes we're going to slide into that episode. So go and check it out, Project Action on Podcast One. With that, we are going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
And we are back here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, to wrap up hour number one. And big, big thanks to all of you for staying with us, man, for almost 10 years now. Long, long time to be on radio, but thanks for tuning in today. Everybody tuning in on Dan Patrick Radio, Sirius XM Channel 211. That is the 211. Yes, thank you guys. You guys are going to be tuning out for hour number two. If you're on Sports Byline or tuning in on the internet or American Forces Network, you got a lot of fun coming at you in hour number two. Got Chris Leone with Power Rankings. I'm going to dive into the news and everything happening in the world of motorsports and a whole hell of a lot more. But yeah, thank you guys, you know, for the continued support, and a big shout out to Tara Geiger. That's a big mistake. A lot of people call her Tara Geiger. It's Tara Geiger. Tara Geiger, for coming on the show. First time in 10 years, and I don't know how it took so damn long. But you know what? You know, a lot of people are sitting at home right now, right? You know, you can't go to the racetrack. A lot of people working from home. You know what you need to do? Get behind the wheel, and you can do it with iRacing. Use a coupon code PR-JimBeaver, and it's It's going to get you a big discount when you sign up for the iRacing service. You can sim race and virtually race all of the biggest and best racetracks around the globe right from the comfort of your own home. Check it out. It's iRacing, and use that coupon code PR-JimBeaver, and that is going to get you a big 50% off sign-up bonus. And with that, we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back with hour number two right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't go anywhere.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hour number two. Signed off on Sirius XM Channel 211, and thank you for continuing to listen in on Sports Byline, the U.S. American Forces Network podcast. One, Spotify, downanddirtyshow.com, Apple Podcasts, you know, all those places you get this show. If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button. And you know what? Speaking of social media, we have my esports team. You know, we've got we put on that big triple crown earlier in the year, and we got some more events planned and things like that. We've been doing a lot of Twitch streaming. So if you guys, are you on Twitch? I'm sure a lot of you are at this point because there's a lot of good video content outside of gaming. It's actually starting to pop up, and it's, you know, YouTube is kind of the stuff for produced video, and I, you know, and obviously YouTube does do live, but I feel like Twitch has become like the home for live stuff. And anyways, you know, we have a big Twitch channel. We're growing that thing. We're doing sometimes 3-4 videos a day we're dropping on our Twitch. It's just Jim Beaver Esports, so check it out. Lots of racing action going on there. May eventually start dropping some shows and things like that and doing some live events over on Twitch, but it's been a lot of fun, you know, trying to grow that and just cranking out some content. So we got some stuff up our sleeves, I think, for later on in the year. Yeah, so you want to be over there, and also on YouTube. We're dropping constant content over there on YouTube as well. So I don't know. We're trying to get our video game, no pun intended, you know, cranked up and amped up. I know you guys have been requesting it. I know Vegas to Reno next month. I got a ton of video crew. We got a helicopter falling the car. We've got so much video that we're going to have around that event, especially with Steve Arpin coming in, that it should be rad. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be kind of a fun event, Vegas Torino. I know here in the next segment we're really going to dive into it, but if you look at this entry list for Vegas Torino this year, holy crap. It's just, I had to catch myself there. Holy crap. It's a who's who of off-road racing. You know, Baja has been up in the air. Obviously, we know the 1000 is going to happen, but all the other three Baja events looks like it's going to be scrapped. And, you know, this might be one of the last big events of the year. So, man, drivers coming out of the woodwork to run this one. Almost 400 entries. Going to be an insane one next week. So we'll dive into that in the next segment. And, got any fan questions, now's the time to hit me up at JimBeaver15. Hit him up on Twitter. That's probably going to be the best place to get him answered, and we'll get him into the show. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And I got to say, I was going to talk a little bit about my vacation, a little bit about Vegas to Reno. I got to say that that may all be out the window at this point. Well, we will get to a lot of that, I promise. But I got to say, during the break, I go to Instagram and Twitter, check messages, check fan questions, things like that. You guys know this. But my boy, Bucky Lassick, yes, he is a good friend of the show. We haven't had him on in a couple years. I can tell you it is damn time we get Bucky back on, because he just left his other skateboard company and has been teasing a reunion with Powell Peralta, you know, the OGs, you know. And anyways, he's been teasing these new skateboard decks. It finally just dropped, and he says some things are worth the wait. He just dropped two new skateboards from Powell Peralta. One is a popsicle and one is like an OG deck. throwbacks. I mean, these are just insane. The artwork, everything about these is great. I can tell you I'm ordering four of these decks. Two of the popsicle with the turtle and two of the stadium, the new stadium deck, kind of old school retro throwback. I need some hanging in the studio, and then I need a couple of them just to skate myself. But, man, yeah, as you know, this show, you know, it's got its roots in, we call it action motorsports. Now we've done a little bit of traditional motorsports, but definitely action sports. I mean, I grew up, you know, just skating and riding BMX, and it's just a part of my life. And so, you know, I was in San Diego and surfed quite a bit and did even more skateboarding. I was able to let my daughter skateboard, and she's got really, really good. And, you know, it's just something I enjoy. And, you know, dang, I'm 39 years old, turned 40 in December. And you know what? Like, I still actively ride my bike as much as I possibly can, skateboard as much as I possibly can. And I think it's funny. You know, it's like when I was a kid, if, like, you saw a dad in his 40s riding a BMX bike or skateboard, you'd be like, man, that guy's weird. Now it's, like, commonplace, right? Like, all of us that grew up through the 80s and through that era of the, you know, the, and started skating and BMX riding, and we're not even going to talk about rollerbladers because they're but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just a part of it. Same thing with video games, you know? 20 years ago, you didn't see adults playing video games. Now it's very commonplace. Everybody I know still plays video games, you know? It's just a part of life, and it's something, you know, that we've grown up with and we've brought with us, and now we do it with our kids, and it's actually kind of unique. And I know, you know, one of the cool things that just happened recently was my favorite movie of all time. I'm not saying sports movie, action sports movie. No, my legit favorite movie of all time is the movie Rad from the 80s. I had the VHS as a kid, burned that thing through. You know, this is a movie that's gone into hibernation for like 30 years. And you had to get these pirate copies from like Bangladesh, you know, these DVDs that were burned and things like that on eBay. And it's the only way to get a copy of the movie. And the one time it popped up on YouTube, it got pulled down. They just re-released it in 4K. And I mean, this is probably one of the such a cult following. And it's got some big name actors in there. But I would say this is probably one of the greatest action sports films of all time. But it's actually a movie. And, you know, that just got re-released. And so I feel like, you know, Bucky's getting these new boards out. I actually just last week ordered a new Tony Hawk deck. He's got a new kind of retro throwback. And, you know, I kind of got the skateboard collection going. And the thing is like some of them I ride and some of them never get gripped or anything. And I just kind of hang them here in the studio. And I know, like, right now I got this Santa Cruz Garbage Pail Kids deck. It was a blind bag deal they did, and it was like $75 for a blind bag a couple years ago, and they had like 9 different variants, and you pull one out and you never know what you're gonna get. I got one of the, I think one of the most rare ones, all holographic and everything else. I got that in the studio, never unwrapped it. So it's like, I do skateboard, but I do collect too. But I don't know, I feel like we're seeing this renaissance of action sports from the 80s, and people like myself that are really getting back into it heavy and still skating, still BMXing, and these movies are being re-released. Skateboards now, this whole retro series thing, it's become a huge deal. Same with BMX bikes, man. They're doing retro bikes from the 80s, and they're so goofy looking. It's funny, but it's just fun, and I think it's, you know, it's great for these companies because now we've got disposable income that we can buy this stuff, whereas when we were a kid, we didn't. So now we're buying the stuff we always wanted as a kid and never could get. And now we got money, and it's like, yep, take my money. So yeah, it's been kind of fun. And Bucky Lassick, yeah, check it out. Go to his Instagram and check it out. It's just amazing, these two decks. It's just amazing. That's all there is to it. So yeah, it's good stuff. But you know, I guess we should talk a little bit about Vegas to Reno. That's coming up. It's one of the big ones. I know Indy 500, and it was announced that they are no longer having fans. That was a big blow to the motorsports community. I know Roger Penske said it was one of the toughest decisions of his career. You know, he originally had planned, they were able to do 25% capacity, which is about 75,000 people. Said the Indy 500 deserves to be run in front of fans. And then all of a sudden, you know, they just legitimately didn't think it was safe, couldn't do it. So fans out at the Indy 500, it's going to be weird. No fans running in August. Either TV ratings are going to be the highest they've ever been in history, or TV ratings are going to be in the toilet. I don't know. I'm going to be tuned in, but it's going to be interesting to see See what happens there. I don't know. I just it's and you know is an Indy 500 win an Indy 500 win, or are people going to look at this one and go, ah, it wasn't quite as much? I think it's still being classified as a win. I mean, the ones that happened during the Champ Car era when they were rivals still count as wins, right? I don't know. It's just a weird mood surrounding the Indy 500 this year. That's just kind of my thing. But maybe we'll have to do like a live chat during the Indy 500 race on Twitter or something like that. We'll figure something out. We'll do something fun. For you listeners, SEMA show scrapped. This one, I think we all knew was coming. Nobody wants to go and stand in convention center shoulder to shoulder with 200,000 people. They kept saying SEMA's a go, and I'm like, I don't see how any possible way SEMA is a go this year. And Rugg got pulled out from under it. They still say PRI is a go, which is the mini version of SEMA geared towards racing. Same organization. It's in Indy instead of Vegas. I don't know is the easiest way to put it. I don't know how they're going to pull that one off either, but they say it's still a go, so who knows? Maybe it's a go. So all that's going on, but Vegas to Reno is happening. We know the Baja 1000 now is officially happening. They got a contract in place. I think the Baja 500 is going to be scrapped. So we've got that to look forward to, racing in Baja in November. We've got two Crandon races. We got an ERX race next weekend. So Midwest Short Course is on fire. And then we've also got Vegas to Reno next weekend, and almost 400 entries, and it's the who's who of UTV racing, trophy truck. I know it's called Trick Truck and Best in Desert, but stacked entry list. I mean, you got Robbie Gordon, Bryce Menzies, BJ Baldwin, you name it. Just about every single person is there, going to be competing at Vegas to Reno. I think it's going to be insane. I mean, and this is a different track. That's what's great. So a lot of the score racers coming over who haven't necessarily done Vegas to Reno in a couple years, they aren't going to be at a huge disadvantage because the track is different this year, different starting place. We haven't ever started in Armagosa Valley that I know of. So we're running a little bit of the Terriblestown 250 course. Up through Beatty. And, they wind it differently. It's 515 miles, but a lot of the zigzagginess is out and it's more of a straight shot. But it's going to be interesting this year for Vegas to Reno. Just because, you've got a different track and you've got a stacked field. I mean, every single class, you got the premier drivers. UTV, the score guys coming over, they're racing. Trophy truck, score guys, they're coming over, they're racing. I mean, this is the, Baja 500 didn't happen in June. I mean, it's the only major desert race we may have. Obviously, Baja 1000 is going on. They've got permits and everything else. But, at the end of the day, that still could be pulled. We see what happened with the Indy 500. We've seen NHRA races that are getting scrapped and IndyCar race is getting scrapped, and things could change in Mexico and that could be canceled. So I think drivers right now are like, hey, we want to race as many races as possible, and we're going to get them in because we can't bank on anything happening later in the year, sponsor obligations, everything else. So it's like, let's race. And that's what we're seeing at Vegas to Reno. 6100 field stack, class 10, class 1, top to bottom. It is just an insane entry list. And I am definitely looking forward to getting behind the wheel of my Polaris Razor. Got Racer Magazine and Marty Fiocca coming in to race with me. Obviously, my good friend Steve Arpin, you know him from the rallycross world. He's coming in to race. So it's going to be a definite good big event for us and for the off-road community as a whole. So, looking forward to that one. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got power rankings time. Got my media director, Chris Leone, here hanging out. I don't know, Chris, it was pretty slim pickets in the world of motorsports this past week. I'm kind of anxious to see what you come up with, because I got to tell you, I was kind of scraping the barrel a bit to try and fill out my five. I know a couple weeks ago, we probably could have had 7 or 8 on our list. Here we are this week and nothing. And I know IndyCar kind of in that sabbatical waiting for, they're waiting for the Indy 500, which we now know is going to be run without fans. So I feel like it's kind of a little light on some of the action. I know we talked, you said, what do we have? IMSA, Formula One, NASCAR was pretty much the big three. And off-road, we got a big weekend coming up this next weekend. We'll have Vegas to Reno happening, as well as second round of racing at ERX, which is round 3 of the Champ Off-Road Series. So kind of getting back into the groove of things on certain weekends, but weekends like this, Chris, not a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, this has been such a feast or famine year, hasn't it? It's been, you have a handful of weeks that just everything's going on. Then nothing goes on. Then everything goes on. Then, oh, by the way, we shut down for basically 3.5 months, and we don't have anywhere near enough to do any of these power rankings. Then we have some big weekends, and then we have another weekend like this where there's nothing. And, I've kind of looked ahead to, October, there's one week where everybody and everything seems to be running. And, it's kind of out there. There's not a real consistent burn on this. And, this past weekend, especially with, NASCAR only having the Cup Series at my home track in New Hampshire. And, IMSA had Road America. Formula One had the first of 2 races at Silverstone. But, yeah, really for top-tier stuff, top-flight stuff, that was it.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into things here, because I'm interested to see which way our power rankings go this week. So, Chris, rolling out of the box, who do you have at number 5?
Number 5, I am going to go to that IMSA race at, at Road America. I am going to go to the GT winners, Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor, with the Corvette team. And they've been pretty strong this year. I mean, one of the things that I think may have ended up helping that Corvette team just a little bit is they came out of the box, and obviously, big shift this year, big shift having that be a mid-engine Corvette now, as opposed to the front engine that car has really always been. You do Daytona, but then you've kind of got this big gap where you don't have a lot of races. And in that time, you're probably able to refine some stuff. I know a lot of people really weren't working a lot of the, a lot of the spring due to the pandemic, but you're able to come back and, some of the races where you would have had growing pains probably coming in, you didn't have to deal with that. You come out June, July, August out of the box with a car that's probably got a little more fine tuning on it. And they come out and now it's, they keep winning races. That's the second victory for those two guys in the past 3, and pretty strong debut season for them so far. So I have got that Corvette team at number 5.
Well, I am going to go to Road America as well. And, you and I were talking before we went on air, and, and how sometimes IMSA, we just don't quite find it compelling. And I know Bill Caswell, a good friend of ours, he posted something about that too, as this race was going on. Is there anybody actually watching IMSA anymore? And, Road America is actually one of the ones that it makes it decent to watch, because I feel like this is more of a Le Mans type track. 4 miles long, is very long. I feel like it lends itself to endurance racing, very well. That's kind of a side note. For mine, I'm gonna have to go to the DPI class, and I find it kind of interesting, maybe a little bittersweet, but Ricky Taylor, Helio Castroneves taking the victory after finding out about a week ago that they are no longer employed as of next year. So Penske obviously trying to end on a high note, Acura deciding they didn't no longer wanted to renew the team sponsorship, and they're gonna go a different direction with their with their sports car investment or involvement. We don't know what that quite will be yet, but I thought it interesting the same week that Ricky and Helio find out they're out of a job.
they take the victory.
And I will get to those guys a little later in my list, but my number four, I am going to go to Silverstone and go last couple of laps to that race. I mean, you know, it seemed like we were setting up for a snooze fest because everybody was basically just running the hard tires out on the race. And then suddenly tires start grenading, you know, the last couple of laps, they're just blowing. And I am going to give my number four spot to the runner-up finisher there, Max Verstappen. A lot of people thought, oh, by taking the free pit stop, you know, Max robbed himself of the, you know, of the opportunity to steal a win. But, you know, you come to find out after the fact, the team says, no, there were like 50 cuts in that tire that they took off, you know, one of the tires that they took off. And it's just like, all right, well, you know, well played then, I guess, you know, to take the second place finish. But I think Max has been very consistent. I think that was a good, you know, another helpful result for Red Bull. I know that they've had kind of the issues with Alex Albon, where he's had some incidents that have really, you know, I think cut into his confidence over the past, you know, few races, especially contact with Kevin Magnussen again. So, you know, for Max to just keep on doing what he's doing and not throw the team completely into disarray, have them wondering about both drivers, for Max to just keep being consistent and ripping off podiums and running up front, you know, I think that's really important. So, you know, number four on my list, Max Verstappen.
You know, I had him on my honorable mentions, and, you know, and truthfully, you know, you talked about that and the pit stop and possibly stealing a win, but bigger picture here is Lewis Hamilton's been dominant. You know, aside from the first round, he's been pretty dominant the last three, and, you know, his victories are slowly less and less. I mean, the margin of victory, I believe his first win of the year was like 13 and a half seconds, give or take a few tenths. And then I think second victory of the year at Hungary was like 8.5 seconds, give or take a few tenths. And then this one was, what, like 5.8? So I feel like the margin of victory is slowly creeping down. And just because of that, I'm like, Max Verstappen's actually making them somewhat of races. I'm like, all right, we'll roll with Max. But he ended up getting whacked. But I agree with him being on your list because he was darn near on mine. For mine, though, for number four, Chris, I'm going to go to the world of off-road, and I'm just literally going to the world of off-road. You know why? Best in the desert, we got Vegas Torino. Somehow they were able to work through the permitting processes. They are going to have one of the biggest off-road races of the year this coming weekend. I'm competing in that, but almost 400 entries. We've got ERX was able to put on a second event, Save the Bark River Date. That shifts to Minnesota. They're going to be running a race with fans. We've got Crandon coming Labor Day weekend and another one in September. They're going to be run. They're going to be run with fans. And it was just announced yesterday the Baja 1000 has permits in hand with the Mexican government, and the Baja 1000 will be run in November. For that, somehow, the world of off-road has been able to scrape together these dates, make things happen, and I got to give the entire world of off-road a spot on my list at number four. And, you know, that doesn't even include Ultra 4. I mean, they've been running events as of, you know, even a weekend ago in Tennessee. So, yeah, world of off-road, they're number four on my list this week, Chris.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's been, for every discipline of motorsport, I feel like it's just been this massive effort just to even get things off the ground. Awesome to see Vegas Torino finally going off, and, you know, everything that's surrounding that event. You know, awesome that you're going to be back behind the wheel and really kind of have the dream team sort of assembled with what you're doing and who you're sharing the car with, which is, you know, similarly going to be really cool. And obviously I'm a little bummed because I'm out here in Mass, and it's, you know, the deal is you travel back from most of the states in the union, you're stuck at home afterwards for 2 weeks. So it's not really prevalent. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, unfortunately, for me to be there, which is a shame. That's one of my favorite events. Finishing that last year, you know, was unreal. Although, as Trent and Mr. No Big Deal Hill will probably tell you, I think I fell asleep for the last hour and a half of the chase truck ride. you know, I think I just gave out, but, you know, it is really cool, and it's great to see that things are sort of moving along. Number three on my list, I am going to go to the IMSA names that you've already mentioned with Ricky Taylor and Helio Castroneves. And the reason why I've got them a little higher, I mean, I just think it's more significant to be able to take that victory in the face of knowing, hey, your future for 2021 isn't secure. I mean, let's be real. You know that Helio Castro Neves and Ricky Taylor are going to be racing somewhere next year. You know, both of them are far too talented not to be. I would not be shocked to see a Taylor brothers reunion in the Corvette camp. Helio's talking about possibly even coming back to IndyCar full time, which would be really exciting. Yeah. If that comes to fruition.
Well, a lot of people think he shouldn't have ever left. And he, being the corporate guy, you know, said, all right, Roger, yeah, I'll go do the sports car thing and win races for you over there. But truth be told, Helio, if he wouldn't have gone to sports cars, he could be up there with Scott Dixon on the all-time greats list.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting to think about. And it's at this point, I'm not banking on a fourth Indy 500 win for Helio. I'm not banking on him tying people, but then again, you know, 9 years ago, I wasn't banking on Dan Weldon taking a second Indy 500 win, and, well, look what happened, you know? So it'll be really interesting to see. I'm sure that regardless of what he's running in full-time, I mean, let's be real. With the IndyCar thing, obviously it makes a lot of sense because, I mean, Helio's two regular manufacturer partners are Acura, which is part of the Honda family in IMSA, and Chevrolet and IndyCar. Like, you know, I don't see a new manufacturer for engines coming in next year. So, you know, he's got the right connections. But regardless, those guys are going to land on their feet, and that victory, I'm sure, will do a lot to sort of secure that. But so that's why I've got those two guys on my list at number three.
Yeah. Well, and with that, Chris, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Chris Leone here. We are midway through our power rankings. We're scheduled for one segment. And as usual, Chris and I got to talking, and we moved on to two segments. So here's segment number two. I believe we're exactly smack dab halfway. Chris has given his top three, or his bottom three. That sounds bad on power rankings. Like, if you make the list, it's actually a good thing, and to call it the bottom three, that just doesn't sound right. But Chris has gone through his first three, and I've gone through my first two, so I guess it's time for me to roll into my number two. And I've got, like I said, this is an interesting week, lack of motorsports going on, but there are people, maybe not actually racing, that they've done things that have kind of stood out. And I know I just had, you know, in the opening part of the show, we had an amazing interview with Tara Geiger. And, you know, she tied in with Travis Pastrana, one of the greatest female motorcycle racers of all time. And, you know, and she was on to kind of promote Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus Pit Bike Challenge, which is going to be absolutely insane. Watch that August 15th as it airs on TV. But, you know, all that being said, I went, you know, a lot of people have struggled during this whole pandemic. Race car drivers, you know, there's no racing going on. What do I do? This and that. The one guy, I don't want to say the one guy, there's been multiple, but the guy that has stood out the most to me that has been active and created content, gone out and done things. I mean, he built a pit bike track at his place, and then they film it and then throw it on TV. You know, Travis Pastrana, you know, he's been active in iRacing. He's been active doing just about anything Travis Pastrana can do at his compound. he has done, and I got to give him a lot of credit. You know, as a lot of people have failed, floundered, and not, you know, lived up to expectations of sponsors and partners, Travis Pastrana, man, he's been hitting home runs and grand slams, Chris. And for that reason, you know, I mean, who's creating new TV during the pandemic? Nobody but Travis Pastrana. We got TP. He's on my list there at number three, just because.
You know, it's actually funny. So I've been the admin, the, you know, race control on all these LCQ League things. And LCQ League was even an offshoot of the iRacing Rallycross All-Star Invitational that we did in the spring that would not have happened anywhere near the way that it did without Travis. When we initially drew that up, I got to tell you, and I was talking about this last night, I initially drew that thing up as six teams with like two pro gamers and one pro race driver. And then, you know, Subaru Motorsports USA came calling and said, yeah, we're in. And Travis came calling and said, yeah, we're in. You know, I'm in. And, you know, then the next day I get an email from Travis with Chad Reed, Alexander Rossi, James Hinchcliffe, a couple of other guys who didn't actually end up making it. And he said, yeah, these guys are all in to do it. And I'm like, we're cooking with gas now, aren't we? You know, it's without the efforts that Travis had in putting that series together, you know, it wouldn't have looked anything like what it eventually did. You know, but LCQ League kind of grew out of that as an offshoot because, you know, as you can imagine, with a rallycross field where only 10 guys make the final and nearly 30 cars are entered, a lot of big names end up on the sidelines. And a lot of the best real world racers were guys who were regularly fighting in those LCQs. So they said, hell with it, you know. And, you know, there was just kind of that, hey, we want to keep racing, but we want to do some fun stuff on our own and keep the damage off. And, you know, obviously that league, I'm like the least important person on this 15 person group text. I'm like the, I joke that I'm the 16th most important person on the 15-person group text. And actually, at one point, we found out about this pit bike challenge, and Travis had been willing to invite people. And I think a couple of the drivers that ran LCQ League may have showed up. I don't think they raced, but I think they showed up. So that was really cool. It's cool to see, you know, just how tight a lot of these guys have become or renewed friendships over the pandemic. And, you know, certainly being privy to that in some way, being drafted in, you know, to help them take, you know, make the most of iRacing has been awesome. But all that's just a long-winded way of saying I have been waiting to find out who won that pit bike challenge for months now, and I cannot wait to watch that. Yeah. That is going to be so cool.
Well, I will be at Vegas Torino, but you can bet your ass I'm going to have the DVR set for that one. So, that takes us through number three on our list. So we got our top two on the week, Chris. I gotta think our top two, as crazy as our bottom three were, I think our top two are going to be eerily close. I'm just kind of waiting to see who you have slotted where. Who do you have at number two on your list, Chris?
Well, I am going to go to New Hampshire, and I am going to put the driver of the two in spot number two, Brad Keselowski. Not only did he take the win for Team Penske, but also managed to renew his contract for another year. It's only a one-year extension, which I'm sure is kind of not what he was going for, but it has been interesting, at the very least, to listen to Brad sort of discuss the economics of NASCAR free agency right now. And NASCAR certainly is in an interesting position. You just had a team, you know, Bob Levine just sold off his team after the end of this season. And honestly, the way that they've talked about it, it kind of does cast doubt as to whether or not they're actually going to finish this season out, to me, you know, the way that it sounds. But, you know, Brad has been very vocal kind of on the driving standards of the Cup Series a little bit with, you know, drivers needing to maybe be held to a higher level. I agree with him on that. I'm not 100% sure that it had affected his position in free agency the way that he kind of made it sound like. I really don't think that there are pay drivers that were ever competing for the flagship car of Team Penske. Certainly, you know, I can see it, you know, affecting the economics of the sport as a whole, but you know, to me, it did read as a little bit of a non sequitur, but regardless, winning does cure everything. And we saw that as he goes to victory lane, and literally the next day, there's a contract extension that gets signed, sealed, delivered. So, you know, big, important victory for Brad Keselowski. I believe it's his third of the season, and, you know, obviously a threat for his second championship this year, no doubt.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the top runners, and it's interesting you had him at number two, because I had a toss-up between my top two, and I think we ended up probably making the same decision for the same reasons. But I had Keselowski at number two on my list, and, you know, he's been dominant all season. We've got a couple of guys, Denny Hamlin, another one, you know, that's been just dominant. But Keselowski definitely, you know, there's three guys this year that have really separated themselves from the rest of the field, in my opinion, and he's right in the mix. I think that was his third win of the season, and it was pretty dominant, 184 laps. He led out of, what was it, a 300 lap race, almost two-thirds of the race he led. You know, he's just like you said, he's been rock solid this year, and a great effort there, and had to have him on my list for my reasons and pretty much everything you said, Chris, which leaves us to number one. And yeah, I'm pretty sure we're in the same place. We going to Silverstone?
I think we are, but before we leave New Hampshire, I've got to say, you know, yes, leading almost 200 laps at New Hampshire is dominant, but the first ever cup race that I went to was the one where Jeff Burton led every single lap at New Hampshire. So there's still a little work to do yet. And yeah, that was an interesting one. It's a shame that we ever had to use restrictor plates at New Hampshire. But moving forward, yes, we are going to Silverstone. And all the credit in the world to Lewis Hamilton for making it a show at the end, because it seemed like it was going to be a snoozer. But oh, crossing the line on three tires, man, that's, you know, the funniest thing to me, you've got the tire manufacturer sponsoring the race, and then lo and behold, it's the tires giving out that make it such a memorable race. And I'm not sure that's quite what they were paying for, but now we also have to look at this weekend where they're going to be running softer tire compounds on the same track. So gosh, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, my mind is, you know, and I, as we're sitting here doing this, I'm actually looking up stats. Cause I don't remember, is Lewis Hamilton one behind Michael Schumacher now? Is it one, or how close is
he? He's up there, but there's a couple more yet.
Yeah. I can't remember.
It'll happen this year. It would take some really outstanding circumstances for it not to happen this year.
Yeah, well, especially the way these last three Grand Prix have gone. But, you know, I know he's been dominant at Silverstone. He's been dominant at Hungary. I'm just looking at it going, you know, Chris, we talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, right around the Hungarian Grand Prix. And, you know, and then I see a race like this one. And, you know, and he pretty much is sheer dominance. But it's been that way for a long, long time now, Chris. I mean, you know, like you said, sometimes, and I can't quote you perfectly, but you said sometimes, you know, when we're watching greatness, we don't appreciate it as much as we should. But what I'm seeing with him, I mean, I grew up in the Michael Schumacher era. I remember how dominant Michael Schumacher was. But Chris, I mean, you start looking at the stats and you start looking at things. I mean, Lewis Hamilton, I mean, you hate to call somebody the GOAT, the greatest of all time, because it's such a hard thing to do. But, man, Chris, I'm looking at this going, you know, Lewis Hamilton, whenever he decides to hang it up, and I know he had said something where he'd like to race for like three more years maybe, something like that. But, I mean, I think we're looking at the greatest of all time, Chris.
No, I agree. I think it's really going to be difficult to convince anybody otherwise, and not to mention the fact that Lewis is, you know, doing – Lewis is doing this in the face of far more, I think, social and personal challenges than maybe some of the other drivers have had to face. More cultural challenges, yes, than the drivers, you know, before him have had to face. I mean, you know, you look at Prost and Senna, and the biggest thing that you had to deal with between the two of them was the fact that they could not stand each other, at least on the track. You know, with Schumacher, there were certainly things along the way. You know, he earned himself a reputation as an overly aggressive, sometimes even dirty driver. None of that compares to what Lewis Hamilton deals with. None of it is within the same area code of what Lewis Hamilton, you know, has had to deal with. And, you know, people, it's without kind of overstating it, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I think a lot of people dismiss because it's not their life experience. It's not something that they're familiar with, but nonetheless, you know, it's beyond impressive what he's done. Yes, no doubt the car makes a huge difference in Formula One, and the Mercedes has been by far the best car for a long time. You know, that said, do I think that we'd be looking at Lewis Hamilton? And I think I've said this on the show before. Would we be looking at Lewis Hamilton right now the same way as we look at Fernando Alonso if those roles were flipped? And I think so. I absolutely think so. I think we'd be looking at Lewis Hamilton as a Le Mans winner, as a guy who, you know, goes out and tours the world over and does all these different races and is a threat to win every single one of them. You know, I think that's exactly what would be going on. I think he'd be more respected for that, but just, you know, you can't penalize somebody in those greatest of all time rankings just because they had the good car too. Because guess what? Somebody else has that same car, you know, somebody else has those same resources and same opportunities. And if they're not doing anything close to what, I mean, God, look at what it took for Nico Rosberg just to win one title. And then he stepped out immediately. Yeah. So, you know, it really does take a lot.
Yeah. Well, and you look at it, Lewis gets the good car because Lewis has the good skills. And I'm not discrediting anybody else, but, you know, obviously politics are involved. Sometimes paychecks are involved and things like that, you know, where people are bringing money to the table. But even look at IndyCar. I mean, the guys that, you know, let's just say Penske. Obviously, there's Andretti who have phenomenal cars and things like that. But just look at Penske on the all-time list. I mean, that's the dream for most IndyCar drivers is someday be a Penske driver. And, you know, Penske just doesn't matter how much money you have, he's not going to hire you unless you're a good wheel. it's just facts. You know, you're not going to get that good ride without skills. So I think anybody that says, oh, Lewis has all these wins because he's had a good car, yes and no, just like you said. Like, I just don't think they're not just going to put anybody in that ride. You know, there's plenty of rides on the Formula One grid for people with plenty of money, you know, but you're not going to buy you're not going to buy a Red Bull ride. You're not going to buy a Mercedes ride. You're not going to buy a Ferrari ride. Doesn't happen.
No, exactly. And it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I think we give too much credit to the cars sometimes when we talk about things that way. I know it's hard to give too much credit to the cars, you know, but we manage to routinely find a way to do it, and we excuse it all the time, you know, with Lewis. I think we did it, you know, a bit with Vettel as well. When he was in his prime with Red Bull, I think we did it a bit with Schumacher.
Well, you and I are on the same page there, Chris, but we got to take a short commercial break because we're up against the time barrier, and we'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you, but you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I guess it's time to wrap up another fun show. Just a big thank you to all of you once again. Obviously, I took a little time off over July for a little, R&R, man, and concentrating on some projects, things like that. We had some best subs and stuff, but thanks for continuing to tune in. Thanks to everybody that supports the show, Polaris Razor, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish. Don't forget, Jim Beaver 15 will get you 15% off of Dirtfish, Optimus Starters. We got GSP XTV Axles. We got so many amazing partners in here. Acronis, just a good time. times had by all, and thank you guys for the continued support. If you want to give me a follow, it is at JimBeaver15 on social media. Down and Dirty Show also has his account on Instagram, and then we've also got Jim Beaver Esports accounts, Twitch, YouTube, you know, all the good stuff. You guys know where to find us. And downanddirtyshow.com, we're dropping all kinds of content there on the web all the time. But you know, Vegas Torino next week, I think we're gonna pull in some off-road drivers as guests, and then at some point we definitely got to get Bucky Lassick on the show. For those of you tuning in the whole time, you know why. But we got a lot of fun stuff to come here on the show, and thank you again for the continued support. And I guess this is me signing off for this week and saying we'll see you next time right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Have a safe week.